Good evening, and welcome again to the welcome to the Elders Corner. I'm Elder Stephen Mullins of Sovereign Grace Assembly here in Versailles, Indiana, and you are watching the Elders Corner, which is a broadcast ministry of Sovereign Grace Assembly. I wanted to come to you tonight and talk about first steps. If you've been keeping up with us, if you've been watching us on Facebook, watching our post, you'll know that we've been in existence for one quarter now, 90 days, 3 months. We just completed our first quarter, and let me tell you, we finished our first quarter strong. I am so pleased to see what God is doing in the hearts and lives of we who call ourselves the Sovereign Grace Assembly. I wanted to start tonight by reading to you from Acts chapter 2. Just a couple of verses of Scripture. Acts chapter 2, beginning in the 41st verse. Now this is following up on the heels of Peter's great sermon there on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had come upon those who were in the upper room. Cloven tongues of fire were over their heads. Mighty rushing wind. The people in the upper room were all speaking in unknown tongues. The folks outside heard them speaking in their own languages, accused them of being drunk. Peter said, "No, we are not drunk. It's only the third hour. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." And then he presents the gospel to them. Chapter 2, verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Think about that. A great and mighty revival happens. The people hear the gospel. They respond to the gospel, acknowledging Jesus as Lord. They respond to the gospel in confession and repentance. They're baptized, and 3,000 persons are added in one day. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What is it that defines a church? What is it that defines a group of people called out as a local assembly? What is it that defines a group of people as being a local church commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? It's right there in verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. We at Sovereign Grace Assembly are committed to the apostles' doctrine. We are teaching right now in the 9:30 Sunday school hour the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, also called the Second London Baptist Confession. In the Second London Baptist Confession, we address a whole slew of Bible doctrines. We are addressing creation. We are addressing free will. We are addressing Christ the Mediator. We are addressing providence. Everything that you can imagine that needs to be addressed is being addressed. The 1689, also called the Second London, follows in a whole line of various confessions that are solid and biblically grounded. The 1689, whatever else it is the apostles' doctrine. We are getting back to what the Word says. We are preaching and teaching the Word of the Gospel. the Apostles' Doctrine. We are committed to understanding that which Jesus taught us and that which the Holy Spirit reminds us. But it's not just about doctrine, it's about fellowship. Fellowship, too oftentimes in contemporary churches, is limited to that which is done in the back room, that which is done in the fellowship hall, and it usually consists of a meal. Now, that is a part of fellowship, but fellowship is so much more. Fellowship is just hanging out. Fellowship is just getting to know one another. So when we worship, we are fellowshipping. When we're in Sunday school, we're fellowshipping. When we're sharing a meal together, we are fellowshipping. When we're just hanging out, when we're just talking on the phone, when we're interacting on social media, we are fellowshipping. We are getting to know one another. We're getting to know one another's hearts, one another's hurts, one another's cries, one another's laughters. We are getting to know the person. So the Apostles' Doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread. Now, I've read in a number of commentaries that in our modern translations, there's actually an article left out there. It should be, "and the breaking of bread." What is the breaking of bread? That is the Lord's Supper. We at Sovereign Grace Assembly, we observe the Lord's Supper every single week. And why do we do that? Because we are committed to the Apostles' Doctrine. We are committed to fellowship with one another. We are committed to proclaiming the gospel both in word and in action. We hear the word preached and we participate in the proclamation of the gospel through the ordinance, through the breaking of the bread, through remembering that which Jesus did for you and me, and in anticipating the promise He made that He will eat this with us in the kingdom, and in prayers. If you've watched our Sunday morning worship, you'll notice that our entire worship set is centered around four prayers. We have the prayer of adoration, in which we sing the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." We have the prayer of confession, which follows on the heels of the article and or the paragraph of whatever article we're looking at that Sunday morning. Follows on the heels of the kids' catechism. During the prayer of confession, we are acknowledging that we're not just an autonomous body, but we are a cooperative body. We recognize that we are not the only church, that there are other churches of like faith and practice in which we lock our arms with for the purpose of missions and evangelism, and for the purpose of reaching our community and our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also have the prayer of thanksgiving, in which we set our hearts to our offerings for that week. We set our hearts to that which the Lord has done in our lives and in our families, in our church that week. And then finally, we conclude with the prayers of supplication, remembering that there are times when we need to lift one another up in weakness. For when we are weak, He is strong. Verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." So it says there in verse 46, they continued daily with one another in the temple. They met for corporate worship and breaking bread and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. We at Sovereign Grace Assembly, we don't end with just Sunday school and worship, but every single week we have a meal together. You've heard it said that families that eat together stay together. We are committed to recognizing that churches who eat together stay together. We have a meal every single week in which each of us brings something. Whether it's a dessert, whether it's a side, whether it's a main entree, each of us brings something. And we fellowship with one another, sharing our meat with gladness, sharing our meal one with another, growing in grace. Praising God and having, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now I would love to be able to come on here and say, hey, we're growing by leaps and bounds. That's not the case. But if this were, if tonight's address were comparable to a political speech, comparable, it might be comparable to Governor of Kentucky's State of the Commonwealth or Governor Holcomb's State of the State, or it might be comparable to the State of the Union address. You might even call this the State of the Congregation address. And guess what? The state of Sovereign Grace Assembly as a local congregation, as a brand new church plant, is strong. We have finished our first quarter and we are strong. We're not strong because of anything about me or anything about the other two elders. We're not strong about because of anything with regard to any of us who attends on Sunday mornings. We are strong because of the sovereignty of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are strong by His blood. We are strong by His sacrificial atonement for us. We are strong by God's providence in bringing us together as a local congregation. We are strong by God's providence of bringing each of our gifts together for His glory. We are strong because we are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that churches today get distracted by. There's a lot of traditions that bog churches down. But we are committed to not being distracted. We're committed to not being bogged down. We're committed to one thing and one thing only, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We preach the gospel. We participate in the gospel through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We fellowship with one another through Sunday school as we engage with one another and with the Word of the living God. We fellowship with one another as we have a common meal together. We fellowship with one another as we bring our prayers together during the worship time. We fellowship with one another. We recognize our common goal of reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very early on, we chose a very simple missions giving strategy. Our missions giving strategy is best outlined in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's pretty much a reiteration of the Great Commission that's seen in all four Gospels. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What is our mission-giving strategy? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We give to our Jerusalem, we give to our Judea, we give to our Samaria, and we give unto the uttermost part of the earth. What does that look like practically speaking? We give to the Child Evangelist Fellowship, which does the Good News Clubs in the local public schools, led by Bridget Back. We give to our Samaria by supporting Southeastern Baptist Youth Camp, also referred to as Westport Camp, and the work that Don and Sarah Snyder is doing there at the camp. We give to our Jerusalem, which is CEF. We give to our Judea, which is Westport Camp. We give to our Samaria, which is preborn.org, assisting those families who are looking for an alternative as to what to do with their babies. Rather than murdering and slaughtering their babies, preborn.org gives them life-changing alternatives, gives them the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, helps them understand that it's not just a blob of tissue, but that is a life. And we give into the uttermost part of the earth through the voice of the martyrs, carrying the gospel to those unreached people groups, carrying the gospel to those parts of the earth where it is illegal, where folks literally put their lives on the line to meet. That's our missions giving strategy. And we are supporting those even right now. Our financial statement just came out yesterday, and we show where we supported each of those four missions. Child Evangelism Fellowship and the Good News Clubs, Southeastern Baptist Youth Camp, preborn.org, Voice of the Martyrs. We are practicing the Bible's mission-giving strategy there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And we're doing that strongly. We are giving 11.27% of our offerings to these four missions. We don't have a large attendance right now. We're averaging somewhere around 14 to 16 people. But right now we are developing a core group. We are developing a team. Because this thing is not dependent upon me. This thing is not dependent upon my personality. This church is not dependent even on the elders, but this church is dependent upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The task of the preaching elder, the task of the elders in general, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That means that as we build this team, as we develop this core, that this core is going to go out into the highways and hedges and compel men to come in, not so that sovereign grace can be full, but so that God's kingdom can be full. In the early days of sovereign grace, I had some folks question me, because it seemed counterintuitive to plant a church during a pandemic. It seemed counterintuitive to plant a church during a time in which so many established churches are scaling back, in which so many established churches are ceasing to meet. But there's one church here in Versailles that continues to meet live and in person. Yes, we're on Facebook. Yes, we are live streaming. But we are also meeting in person. We have an actual live attendance every Sunday morning for Sunday school and for worship, in which we gather around the Word, which we gather with one another, in which we spur one another on to love and good works. Why do we do that? Why are we meeting in the midst of a pandemic? We are meeting because the gospel matters. We are meeting because the gospel is important. We are meeting because the gospel is priority. We recognize that which Paul said in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We recognize the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel changes lives. The power of the gospel gives hope. The power of the gospel gives healing. And we are committed to making the gospel priority. We are committed to making worship priority. Why are churches scaling back? Because they really don't believe the gospel. Why are churches scaling back? Because they really don't believe that what we have given in this book is real hope. If you believe that this is hope, if you believe that Jesus is the hope of the world, if you believe that Jesus changes lives, if you believe that the gospel is hope, then you will continue to meet even in the midst of a pandemic. If the gospel is your priority, then you will continue to meet and worship even in the midst of a pandemic. But if the gospel is not a priority for you, then it doesn't matter. Why do we meet? Not only because the gospel is a priority, but because worship is a priority. Turn back with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh Sabbath day and hallowed it." Why do we meet? Because worship matters. Worship is a priority. The gospel is a priority, and worship is a priority. You and me were made to worship. And I realize that a lot of churches say, "Well, we're worshiping remotely. We're worshiping over the internet." You can do a production over the internet, but you really can't worship over the internet. Worship involves having the corporate body together. Physically, on location, in one place. We are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are committed to worship. We make the gospel and we make worship priority. And we believe that as we make those two things priority, that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will keep us. and the Lord will give us staying power. We're not going to be a fly-by-night. We're not going to be a flash in the pan. But we're here to stay. We've started strong, and we will continue strong. Because this area, Southern Ripley County, needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. This area, Versailles, Indiana, needs a good gospel preaching, gospel teaching congregation. This area, Versailles, Indiana, needs a church that is committed to the historic Bible truths. This area, Versailles, Indiana, needs a church that is committed to the apostles' doctrine, that is committed to the breaking of bread, that is committed to prayer, and is committed to fellowship. Thus far, we've begun well. We have finished our first quarter strong, and we are headed into our first year believing that as we commit ourselves to His work and to His glory, that He will keep us, He will preserve us, and He will give us a witness in this community. Not so that our names will be lifted up, but so that His name would be lifted up. Everything that we do as a part of Sovereign Grace Assembly is for the glory of God and Him alone. Beloved, don't forget, Wednesday at 7 p.m. is our midweek Bible study as Elder John Willis continues through the Theophilus letters, finishing Luke chapter 18 this week. If you want to meet with us in person for Sunday school and worship, please message one of us and we'll give you direction and location. If you're not comfortable meeting with us in person, you can check us out Facebook Live, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning, as we continue our sermon series, Understanding Suffering and Service, A Walk Through the Book of Job. This week is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, so we're going to tie Job 15 into the sanctity of human life. And until next time, go and serve your King.